This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to The Talking Cop. We're here for a full-time match reaction show after it is finished at Anfield, Liverpool 0 and Atalanta 3. Yeah. I don't think a lot of people had that in their pre-match predictions, so this is going to be more of a dissection than a celebration, that's for sure. I'm joined again by Ashley and Kev. Ashley, yeah.
That one hurt. I don't think anyone had that in their bingo card today. I did not see that performance coming. I think that we were all hoping for a reaction, and that was the complete opposite reaction that I was looking for personally. How about you?
Yeah. It all looked so good before the match. I mean, the lineups were coming out at like 8 in the morning for us over here in North America, and real early leaks of the team sheets. But I mean, Kev, it's one thing to say that Liverpool lost 3-0 at home in a quarterfinal of a European competition, and it's another thing to say that Liverpool were lucky to only lose 3-0.
Yeah, we were absolutely battered from pillar to post. There's one player can come out of tonight with any shred of credit. That's Cody Gakpo. The rest of them are all shite. Every single one of them to a man were shit. And you play enough games, you watch enough games over a whole season, you get an odd performance like this where it just doesn't happen. It didn't. To a man tonight, there was way too many below par performances. Way too many people not taking responsibility. And yeah, got absolutely what we deserve. And in all fairness, on another night, if that's 5 or 6, you're not arguing. You're not saying, oh, we got, it was harsh, it was this, it was that, it was the referee, it was, nah, we got absolutely done. We got tactically done. We got outworked, outfought, outthought home. And that's a 14-month home record gone up in smoke. In the worst possible way. But it's done. There's no point in crying over spilt milk and throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Throughout a season, you do get these kind of performances. It doesn't happen very often with us, and it hasn't happened very often with us this season. But yeah, that was piss poor. That was, as Shawnee would say, that was Milosian. It was a disgrace.
Yeah, I presume you would agree with me in saying that was our worst performance of the season.
That's our worst performance in a few seasons on so many levels. That was as bad as I've seen us with a reasonably strong side out. That's as bad as I've seen us in a long time. There's no disgrace in going to Arsenal and getting beat. They're a good side, especially at home. But at home, you expect a level of performance, and that was atrocious. There's no other way to put it. There's no silver lining. There's no, you know, if only this happened, if only that happened. Wouldn't have mattered. In midfield, games are won and lost. In midfield, we were absolutely torn to shreds. Physically and tactically, we were done. And the back line was exposed way too many times to simple counterattacks. And some of the goals were just so basic. They were just so basic, but they were really well, like Shamaka's third one. Or sorry, not Shamaka, but it was their third goal. It was basic errors. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't as if they had to work hard to open us up. Yeah, that was really, really poor. And yeah. So many. And if they don't pull their finger out, we'll be sat watching the title race in a couple of weeks' time, saying, wasn't it nice to be in the running for a while?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where we are now with the season.
Pivotal moment in the season. And I mean, obviously the obligatory, the tie isn't over. There's still another 90 minutes to play away in Italy. But I mean, on the evidence of today, you presume they'll be stronger at home, you know, home field advantage and all that. There needs to be a massive.
It's not even that the tie isn't over. It's three. If we put in performances like that between in any game, between now and the end of the season, the title race is over. The title race is over. Europe is over. And we're just going to enjoy the next couple of weeks watching on and reminiscing about good times. That's where we are. That performance has to be a one-off. And players need to hear that. You know, I mean, Anfield, the crowd at Anfield tonight in the second half did their best. They tried to get them going. And there was zero reaction. There was nothing on the pitch. They had a few half chances in the second half that they should have done better with. But in all fairness, you never looked like, for a side that had 70% possession of the football for 90 minutes, we never looked like we had control. Never once did we look like we were in control of that game for a second. Yeah. And credit to Atalanta, because that takes some doing. To have 30% of the ball and cause that many problems, that takes some going.
Yeah, Archie Doolin here, he says, all I can say is the starting 11 was a bad decision. And Ashley, I mean, I think in hindsight, pretty much all Liverpool fans would say that the starting lineup was wrong. But when it first dropped, what was your first impressions of it? Because we make six changes, but it's still a strong 11.
It's a strong 11, but it felt very defensive. I mean, obviously you have the rotation with Elliot coming in and Gakpo coming in, and I'm fine with that. You know, they've stepped up in the past, but I do think that Endo, McAllister, and Jones together with basically three center backs and Gomez, Konate, and Virgil van Dijk in the back, that felt to me like, let's lock it down for at least the first 60 minutes, and then we'll bring on the cavalry, was sort of the idea, I think. And that kind of just didn't play out that way. But it didn't feel like we had anything going forward.
Yeah, Shane McCall says the changes smacked of taking them lightly and of, and a few other people have said the same thing, is that we kind of slept on Atalanta. I mean, some of the players that came in, Kev, you kind of expected them. I think Elliot and Gakpo were pretty much nailed on to start this game. There was questions over who would start at left back, whether Kwanzaa would go again, you know, try to get him back out there and get the monkey off his back over the mistake that he made against Manchester United. But Konate comes in, Tsimikas plays at left back, McAllister, Endo, Jones in the midfield. Like,
yeah, that 11 should be good enough. You know, you're putting out a strong 11. That has to be good enough. And it should be good enough. It is good enough. On the vast majority of the times, you'd be picking that 11. You'd be looking at that and you'd be saying, yeah, no problem with that. That's fine. The only thing you'd say is it's a lot of changes. There's a fair few in there that don't have proper minutes in their legs. They've got bench minutes. They're coming back from injuries. Form for some of them. Like Darwin couldn't hit a barn door at the minute. And I get the people saying that, yeah, you're taking your eye off Atalanta here. But at the end of the day, you can't play your starting 11 every 11, and you have to make changes somewhere. And when you look at the form guide of what Atalanta have been doing for the last few weeks and the season that they're having, they're not in any great shakes. I think they're sixth or seventh in Serie A. that 11 should be good enough. You know, if they play to if they play to their capabilities, that 11 is good enough. You know, and they just too many of them didn't.
Yeah, and I mean the the real positive news before the match, and I guess during and after the match, was the return of Jota, Trent Alexander-Arnold, and Stefan Bacic to the bench. It gave us a very strong-looking bench. From all the chats that I'm involved in, everybody seemed pretty jubilant coming into this. It started pretty good, and then it just it fell to pieces. Milan Srdar says they played more offensive players on the pitch from the start. Pasalic is an attacker from Croatia. He was the third forward when they when we played 4-4-2. And 3 minutes in, Ashley, I thought it was probably a foul on Harvey Elliott, who just lingers in possession, gets caught from behind, and then it goes in, and it looked on the TV like he missed it, but Kevin Kelleher getting his head in the way, and I mean, early warning shots, eh?
Yeah, and yet another early big opportunity being handed to an opposition team within like the first 3 minutes. Again, for what is this, the fourth game in a row? And yeah, thank God his head was there and he had the marks to show it on his face. It was, he did a great job making himself big. And at that point in time, I was like, yay, Kelleher, plaudits to him. But that was probably his best moment in the game.
Yeah, yeah, it's an unfortunate 90 for Kevin Kelleher. And Kev, you said that we never really looked like we were in control of the game at all. I thought that there was about a 7, 10, 15-minute period after Kelleher takes the ball in the face where we actually looked quite strong, and a lot of that was based off of Cody Gakpo. Gakpo was the only player that can hold their head up high. I thought he had a really impressive game, and it gets lost in the fury and the disappointment of getting your pants absolutely pulled down, you know, at home, but very strong collecting the ball in the middle of the park, you know, using his body to shield, turn, get attack started going the other way. It looked like a rebound for us. And then, I mean,
look, Darwin on 4 minutes had a glaring chance to open the scoring.
This was literally
a minute after the Kelleher save. They went up the other end and Darwin's through one-on-one, and it was harder to miss it the way he missed it than it was to score. You know,
he slips on that one though.
Yeah, the early one.
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a flying fuck what if he slipped. If he slipped, it's worse. That means he's been out doing a warm up and he didn't put the right studs on his fucking shoes. If you slip, it's worse.
But there was a lot of slipping going on.
That's a brutal finish. That's a simple finish for a number nine that you have to score. You score that, you're 1-0 up. Then you can manage the game with the ball and manage the ball around the back. But what really impressed me with Atalanta was their front six. They left four at the back. They vacated midfield and they pressed our defenders with six players. So if we turn the ball over in our half, they're in. And if you go long, they trusted their defenders to be good enough to be able to defend the one or two players that we left up. We couldn't get out. They suffocated us in our own half. And it was impressive. I mean, there's not many sides are brave enough to do that, and fair dues to them. You know, that takes some workload to be able to do that for the length of time that they did it as well. It wasn't a case that they did it, they tried it for 10, 15 minutes and then stopped. They kept going and going and going. It was, quarter of an hour in, like, they had another chance. And I couldn't understand why. I think that the one that came up, the next chance they had was the one that came across the goal and the Ketelaere flicks it back rather than opening his body and taking the shot. Because that should have been a goal. You know, that was like alarm bells ringing all over the place, because you could see what was going on in the middle of the park. Endo couldn't get a touch on it. Every time he got the ball, he was passing it back. Kelleher never had an out ball. And it just, nobody saw what was going on. And if they did see it, they didn't know how to change it for themselves. It was a really tough watch. You know, really was.
Yeah, that chance you mentioned there where the Kelleher tries a little flick back, that comes off the back of Alexis McAllister just trying to be too fancy in the middle of the park to spin his man. and it became a running theme I found all night, was our midfielders seemed reluctant to move the ball without feeling contact first. Even when they had space, that they would wait for the Atalanta player to make contact and try to spin them or do something cute to turn them and get around. And you can kind of understand it because it draws the defender in, then you open up space and you're playing into open space as opposed to into a field of defending players. But we weren't winning those battles at all. And
sorry, one thing you asked me about Cody Gakpo, his strength impressed me. His ability to take the ball in tight spaces and bring it out and run with it and attract players and play players in was really good. For someone who hasn't played a lot of football for a while, he was really strong on the ball. He was one of the few ball carriers that you'd look at tonight. Yeah, he didn't have his best game by any stretch of the imagination, but he's the only one you could hang your hat on tonight and say, yeah, he had a decent night. And that was probably his best strength, was dropping into like the, you call it a number 10 role, but dropping into the space and being an option, you know, when there was nothing much else on, he was really good at it. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Chris Golding is quoting Virgil here, saying they're man-to-man marking. We couldn't deal with it. Bit shocking that. And I mean, it is, but this is what happens. Like, if you're matched up against a team that's going to man mark you and you don't win any of your individual battles, like even with as good as Gakpo played for us, I would say that whoever was marking him on the center half side of things or on the fullback side of things probably had the better of that 1v1 battle. So we just lost all of our battles all across the pitch and they marked us the hell out of the game. But Ashley, Kev talked about the bravery that Atalanta showed in pressing us from the front. And it's the thing you can't really appreciate on TV, is because you can't see the whole picture. You can't really see what's happening in midfield, but they would have four or five players pushing us when we're starting to play out from the back. And I can't recall a Liverpool match seeing us go long that often. Like, it seemed like our only way out was to lump it up, and then we lost basically every single long ball header.
They played us at our own game is what they did. They pressed the hell out of us and they didn't give us any option, and they waited for us to make a mistake, and that's what we did. And yeah, you're right. The number of long balls that Kelleher put just into no man's land, and you know, at first I was like, is this a tactic? Are they trying to get Nunes on the ball behind the back four? I don't know, but it didn't go anywhere. And he must have kicked the ball out to touch, I mean, at least five or six times. It was shocking. It was shocking from everyone. I don't want to single out Kelleher, but I just think they outpressed us and outfought us, and every single marker on that pitch, they wanted it more, like by every metric.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was plainly obvious. And players like Gianluca Scamacca, I remember doing the pre-season prediction show before last season, and Scamacca was my pick to kind of have an under the radar breakout season for West Ham. And he was atrocious. And tonight he looked absolutely unstoppable. You said, Ashley, that we don't have time to go through and pick certain players out, but I'm afraid we're going to have to do it just a little bit. And I mean, Kev, I'll come to you on this one, but for the first goal, I mean, it wasn't the first time that Kostas Tsimikas did an absolutely blind head down press to absolutely nowhere. But he does it again. I think it would have been about his third or fourth time in the first half so far that he was never going to get there. And they play the ball around the corner, and Zappacosta has the freedom of the right wing to get his head up, picks a good cross out.
Zappacosta, when he was at Chelsea, one of the things that you could hang your hat on him was his delivery from wide. You know, he's an experienced player who knows his own game. He's very good at that. You know, he's a wing back, really. You know, he's not a fullback in the traditional sense. He is a proper wing back. Kostas sold himself again. Really poor tonight. Couldn't get anywhere near the game at all. I don't think anything that he did tonight worked. He is arguably one of his worst performances in a Liverpool shirt. You know, but there's plenty of others. There's plenty of blame to hand around on that goal. The tracking from midfield was non-existent. You know, that ball has to travel a fair way, and it's not at any great pace. before it gets to where to the guy who puts it away. Kelleher should save that. You know, that ultimately that's a keeper error. But there was an awful lot of mistakes that happened before it got to Kelleher. You know, and we were under the, I mean, we were getting back into the game. You had the Elliott chance that rattled the crossbar in the post. You know, Curtis had a chance from the other side. But in truth, the pressure was coming from Atalanta at this stage. And, you know, there was no awareness of risk. It was hell for leather, everything at all costs, and cost us. And Endo and McAllister and Jones tracking from midfield. None of it happened. Kind of a mistake. We're 1-0 down. And you think, okay, fine. It's not the first time this season. We're 1 down. Gather yourself and grow back into it. Because there was space to play in on the pitch. They just couldn't find it. So I thought, okay. At worst, this is 38 minutes gone. Halftime comes up. You're close enough to halftime. You reorganize. The coaches will let you know what you need to do, what you don't need to do, and you're looking for space. So, you know, you're hoping you're going one down. If you can get one back, great, but don't make it two. European football, you do not want to be going two down. You know?
Yeah. Usually, because they mentioned on my broadcast when Atalanta opened the scoring that out of the 50 matches we've played this season, we've conceded first in 20 of them. And that feels like one of those things, Ashley, that's just untenable for a team that wants to be winning titles. Like, it's become a real problem. But so many times this season when we've gone behind to an early first half goal or a first half goal, pretty much any point, I've thought, we can get another one here before halftime. But like Kev said, it didn't feel like we were going to get one before halftime. And if anything, we owe Quiveen Kelleher a few flowers for a big save that he makes when just somehow Tahan Koopmeiners is just on a breakaway.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote down the same fact, the 20 out of 50, that's just unacceptable at this point, at any point in the season. And my commentator went as far as to say that Liverpool need to go a goal behind to get themselves even started. And that's kind of what it feels like this season. And, you know, I know we use it as like a playful banter thing where we're like, oh yeah, we came back and whatever, that you can't keep doing it. I'm over the banter at this point. At this point, it's mentality or lack thereof. And that's what it felt like again.
Yeah, which is such a strange thing to think about with this Liverpool team, because even this season we've shown so many moments of having the mentality to it, and
that chance right at the death of halftime. I mean, the ball was over on their left, our right side, and everything was telling you you're in injury time. Have what you hold. Costas has gone on a fucking wander. Oh. He's gone for the newspaper out the wing. Like, where the fuck is he going?
Well, he's not in the replay I see of that moment as it goes into halftime. He's not even in the frame.
He's not in the frame. And the frame is wide. It's not like the frame captures the fucking halfway line. Like, I mean, that's the mentality of where you are. You're 1-0 down in a European quarterfinal against a side who is pillaring you. And you think, we were all watching it. It's like, get to halftime. Don't do anything stupid. And he's gone on a wander. It's a joke.
I mean, yeah, it was like he was trying to make sure he got substituted at halftime.
But they battled and they fought and they won the ball back in a dangerous area, which is what they were trying to do all half. That was their whole game plan. Win the ball back in our half and get at us. Ashley is spot on. It was a great point. It's what we do, and we load our sides for doing it. And Kelleher is probably the only reason that we're still in this tie. He's the only reason we're still in this tie. He made two absolutely brilliant saves. Three, really, but two absolute belting saves. I said it should have been 3-0 at halftime, and it should have been. They had glaring chances. If you take the De Ketelaere chance where he
flicks it back instead of taking the shot on himself. It could have been four. But, I mean, if we'd have gone in at 3-0 at halftime, you're not arguing.
No.
Would have been deserved. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a sad state of affairs. And, I mean, you get into halftime, and this was one of those days where even the most patient Liverpool fans, I think, are like, we got to make some changes at halftime. Like, there's certain games where players are never going to survive the halftime break, and Costas was going to be one of those. We end up ringing a fair number of changes, but I mean, before that, I just got to mention, we've got our 2024 charity fundraiser that we're doing, trying to raise 10,000 euros for the Lighthouse Cafe in Dublin, fan supporting food banks in Liverpool. Gav has just sent off the first 1,000 euros each to each of the two charities. And he said that the people at the Lighthouse are just absolutely blown away because both these organizations know how to stretch the dollars when it comes to providing as many people with healthy and nutritious and much needed food as possible. So please click on the link in the show description, on the social media accounts, donate to the GoFundMe if you can, share it along if you cannot, please. And consider becoming a member to the show, because there might be some new, in light of today's O.J. Simpson passing news, the rumored Bad Boys of Sports show coming up for members could be on the horizon for us. Ashley, I can't think of a lot of games where we make three substitutions at halftime. That's a pretty dire indication of how we were playing and how Klopp felt he needed to change it up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone would say it was uncalled for. I think that we were all screaming at our televisions, probably, especially for, I mean, Tsimikas, I don't know. He felt like a liability to me today. So yeah, we had Mo and Robbo and Dom come in, and we had Jones and Tsimikas and Elliot come off. And I think the only one I was really surprised with was Elliot, because I felt like he was kind of knitting things together, and obviously Gakpo is the standout, but I thought Elliot was contributing. So in my head, I was like, well, it's got to be tactical. Like, Klopp must have a plan. And I didn't see the plan, I guess.
Some plan. I would agree with you. I thought at halftime, I thought Gakpo was clearly the best player that we had on the pitch. Elliot and McAllister, to a point, were a little bit better. Pretty much everybody else was poor to middling, and then Costas, Tsimikas, I had him graded as no paper, because that's just an incomplete, because it was really poor. But Kev, do you think it was harsh on Harvey Elliott? Did you like how he was flitting about in the first half? I know he had some final balls that were a little off the mark, but
he's not a right winger, is he? Let's be honest.
No,
he's not. No. He's a midfielder.
Certainly not if you're going to pump long balls down the field.
No, not the way we played. He definitely isn't that type of player. I would have left. I would have left him on the pitch, put him in the right side of the eight in midfield, yeah, and put McAllister over on the other side, or let McAllister sit in a double six and match them up. But look, he made the changes, and we had a good spell for about 10 minutes after halftime. Had a couple of decent chances, forced some saves out of their keeper. We looked like we were moving the ball a bit faster, and we were starting to create space and create chances, and we looked a bit braver on the ball. I mean, the changes at the start of the half had the desired effect, because it was a marked difference for the first 10 minutes of the second half compared to what the first 45 was. You know, just by doing simple things, you know, pushing wider, opening the pitch out. If you've got a side who are trying to press you into the middle of the park, play wide. You know, it's not rocket science. The space is there for people to play in it. But, you know, Darwin had an effort, forced a save out of keeper. Robertson swings a good corner into the box. Van Dijk got a header on it, couldn't get over the ball. One thing I noticed about them, they're physically, they're a very big side. So I can understand the team selection with having a Joe Gomez, Ibu Konate, Virgil van Dijk in it. But the delivery from the set pieces wasn't quite on the mark again. But yeah, that first 10 minutes of the second half, we looked a bit better. You know, you can't say we didn't. We did. We were starting to create some space and create some chances.
but that was short-lived.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just above, 5 minutes or so before they got their second goal, I thought we had probably our best chance of the game. Gakpo plays the ball to Darwin, who does very well to keep the ball in, puts the ball back into the box. It ends up falling to Mo Salah. Their keeper makes a good save on it. We get another corner off of it. The obligatory Joe Gomez has an opportunity to shoot and doesn't shoot, whereas later in the game he has an opportunity to pass and he decides to shoot, which is crazy, happens. And then they just score an easy goal, Ashley. I mean, Konate loses it, loses Scamacca at the back post, and it's such a simple cross and great finish. I mean, you'll never pass the ball easier into the back of our net, but I felt that Robertson did the same thing that Tsimikas did for the first goal on this goal, of just a blind head down charge up the side of the pitch. But it's just not good enough, Ashley, is it?
It's just so unlike us. I think, like, it looked so easy on my television screen. I don't know about you guys, but he was wide open and just, yeah, it was a great finish, but he should never be standing right in front of our goal one-on-one with Kelleher. That shouldn't happen. You know, I mean, they clearly timed the offside and everything properly, but I don't know. It's just the whole thing. Our whole defense was just a comedy of errors. I've never seen so many different parts of our defense fail at so many different critical junctures.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I mean, credit to Scamacca because he's standing offside. He's waiting for the ball to come across for him to jump back onside to make the run. And no one picks him up. Joe Gomez isn't in sight. Ibu is playing him offside, then playing him onside. Ibu can see across the line. He can see Van Dijk. He can see Robertson. He can see where the ball is going to come from. Either he's not getting any communication from behind him. Well, there's no one behind him, so he's not getting any communication from there. But instead of thinking, I'm going to go with Virgil and trust the line, or drop back onto the man and man mark him. Yeah, Ibu had a poor night, you know, and that highlighted it. But Scamacca did that really well. You know, it's really good centre forward play to create this. I mean, that he doesn't just create the space. You see a lot of players talking about, you know, it's difficult to stand still at times, especially in the box. But he doesn't move very much, but his movement is really effective. It's a brilliant ball across, and it's a calm finish. It's a really composed finish. You know, Keller had absolutely no chance. And credit where it's due. I give massive credit to the striker for that goal. But at the same time, the flip side, from our point of view, there is absolutely no way in God's green earth that a centre forward should have that much space in our fucking penalty box ever. Yeah. Ever.
Yeah, it's another individual error. I mean, it's a series of individual errors, but like talking about the amount of space that Scamacca found himself in, to me, that's just Konate. He just completely loses his man and he's got to be more turned on to it. Stephen Kingsbury's comment says, I thought Atalanta's belief in their tactics, work rate, energy level, and determination were sensational. They schooled us and their manager looked like he knew he had us. And yeah, it's tiny silver linings, though, Ashley. Robert Maguire says the only good thing about tonight was seeing Diogo Jota back. And that's at 76 minutes. We take Wataru Endo off. We bring Diogo Jota back on for his first time in a while. I think 11 games or 14 games or something like that.
But, 11.
Yeah. I mean, at the time, it looked like it was going to be a season-ending injury. So this is very good to have him back. And, I mean, his first touch, he just wins a penalty for us. But if we're going to continue to push on and not have our season sputter out, Diogo Jota is going to be massively important, isn't he?
Yeah. I was looking at some stats earlier, and I know that, you know, shot conversion is not a sexy topic to talk about, but speaking about Jota, he stands out like a mile on his shot conversion rate. He's at 25%. The closest next in our team is Salah at 18, and it goes down from there. Darwin's at 11, Diaz is at 10. So he's by far our most clinical and lethal finisher, and we need him to show up because it wasn't going to save us today, but there are games in the last couple of weeks that I think he would have made a big difference. We would have gotten 3 points. And we are going to need to have him show up. But I also don't want to look at him like some sort of savior, because this whole team needs to step up. It's not going to be the Jota show that's going to save us or keep us in the league. This needs to be like a line in the sand, and we're going to move on from it, because we can't just sit here and hope that one player coming back, or even Trent or Allison coming back, they can't save our team from this level of poor performance.
And Avo just trying to be nice in his old age, reminding us that Thiago might be back for the return leg. Ha 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 ha. Hilarious. Hilarious. I mean, Kev, the free kick that Jota wins on the edge of their box, it's like about 3 yards out. That's the situation where the second ball falls to Joe Gomez, and from 30, 35 yards, he decides to have a blast, and it
is there to be hit.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's there to be hit. I mean, at the end of the day, the other option is he tries to play a pass in, and you end up having 5 players countering on you.
Well, that's true, and I heard that on.
There's nothing on, then you have to hit it.
I heard that on a podcast or something after one of our games earlier in the season, that the coaching staff encourages us to take those shots from the second ball, so you don't get have happen like what happened against Manchester United in the FA Cup game. But
I mean,
Joe Gomez.
Go on, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, Gomez had a real poor 30 seconds there, because he blasts that shot over. It sends, Klopp is clearly not happy with it, because we were in a dangerous position. We should have made more of it. And then from their goal kick, it would have been better if he just whiffed on the header, but he gets just enough on it to turn their goal kick that's going straight out of bounds into a throw-in for Atalanta. And then, it looks like it's coming, Kev. We've hit the 75th minute. This is where we come into our own, late goals. Nobody scores more than us. An incredible, incredible little 1-2 by Robertson. Bursts down the wing, puts an inch-perfect cross into the back post from Mo Salah, puts it into the net. Offside.
He looked off all day long. Didn't he? Even when you watched it live, he looked off. It was a brilliant cross. It was an outstanding cross. Frustrating from Salah, because he sees everything. You know, he's right in line. He almost looks like he's trying to slow up to stay on. But, yeah, you can't be offside there. You know, he doesn't have to be. He's quick enough. You know, he's not as rapid as he used to be, but he's still quick enough. And I think we needed one. You know, we did tonight. I mean, I've seen a lot of people in the chat, and I've heard a lot about it online already. You know, it's 3-0. We've done it before. Yeah, we have. This team isn't that team. This team hasn't shown anything to me that says they're capable of doing what that team did. They're miles off what that team were. So that team had full belief in everything they were trying to do, and we looked dangerous on every counter that we went on. Our press, irrespective of who was playing, was right on it. This team, I don't think it believes that. I don't think that they're trusting each other at the minute. And we haven't been, I've said it before. I think I said it in the Man United game. We haven't played well in a while. We've put spells in games together. We've put patches in games together, but we haven't played well. What I consider, what I look at well, what we all see is well in a long time. You know, it just feels like
You have to discount the Sparta games, because we were, we were
forget about those.
Games, but they were trash.
Yeah, they were like you're playing, you get nights like that. But I don't think we ever had to get out of second gear. Yeah. I don't think we've been in a game where we've been right at it. You know what I mean? Where we've been banging at sides and looking relentless and clinical. And they need to figure this out. You know, at the end of the day, the only way that the only people who can solve this are the people who cross the line. The management can do so much. He can put the right people on the pitch at the time, but it's ultimately this is the players. The players have to find a way to get this form back. You know, it's form is one of those things that comes and goes. But when you're out of form, you have to pick points up. And against Manchester United, you know, you have days like that where you bang and bang and bang and it doesn't go in, but you take a point. You know, at the very minimum, you get something out of the game. If you're not playing well, you get something out of the game.
tonight, if we'd have got a goal back and it's 3-1, you're like, okay, fair enough. There's no away goals in Europe anymore. It's 3-1. We can turn a two goal around. We need to get this team needs to prove that it can go and do it. It's a massive challenge for them now. Can they go and turn this around? Yeah, they can. They're capable. They've got enough talent. But have they got the balls to go and do it? You know, have they got the bravery within the squad to go and do it in the middle of a title run as well? It's going to take some ask, but if they do it, it's a massive, it'll stand them massively going forward. Not just this season, but in future seasons, it'll be huge.
Yeah. Yeah. You said, you know, we just need to get a goal. You'd think, I mean, I know, I'm sure Ash, you might have the numbers for me, but our record of scoring at home is pretty good. I think Man United is like the only time in the last like 60 games that we haven't scored at home. So it felt like we were going to need a goal. And I'll let you talk about the third goal, Ashley. But for after the Mo Salah offside moment, we never felt like we were showing really any urgency. Like we were pushing forward, but I felt we were passing really, really slowly with the ball, passing it around at the back. And that passing around at the back is what ends up leading to the third goal, doesn't it?
Yeah. And again, it was a personal error. Like Szoboszlai should not have done that. You know, he lost the ball in such a dangerous part of the pitch. And I honestly, at this point, like the red mist was settling over my vision, but you know, there was the shot and then Pasevich follows up. Virgil was holding the line, but I don't know. He just got played. I think he like throughout the whole game, they played our offside properly. And I don't know. It was one of those things. Again, it just looked like I just wrote down defense is nowhere to be seen because that's what it looked like on the screen. It just looked like we got caught and we had. It was like, it's like, you know how they say that defenders are supposed to sniff out danger before it's even there? It's like we didn't have any perception of the danger, and we had been warned multiple times of the danger, and it was the same danger, and yet we still proceeded like it was no big deal. And yeah, it was, Kelleher did well to stop it, and then there was the follow-up. I mean, he probably could have caught it. I think we probably kicked him a little bit already while he's down. It was not his best game, but yeah, it was an easy follow-up, and that is it matches our heaviest defeat at Anfield in Europe, which is not a great record to be talking about right now. So I don't know. I mean, the good news is that that's not their best win in Liverpool. Atalanta's best win in Liverpool was 5-1 versus Everton. So there's that, but that's me clutching at straws, trying to give someone a silver lining somewhere.
Yeah, it's you can always count on Everton at the end of the day. I mean, yeah, it's the game ends 3-0, and it's just it's a big mountain to climb. I mean, Emmett had that comment there where he says, you know, we did it against Barcelona, but this team isn't the team that beat Barcelona, but Atalanta is also not that Barcelona team. So you stay positive. I mean, if you're not going to watch the return leg because you don't think it's possible, then I would question, you know, like, are you willing to take that risk of missing out on Liverpool doing something miraculous because you're in a huff over having to watch that beating at home? Kev, there's been a lot of talk about it in the chat, so I feel like we should just have a tiny little thought on it because I've been thinking about it in the build-up to it. Andrew Den specifically saying fans need calling out for making the atmosphere toxic tonight. Needs to be said one way or the other. It was a terrible way to make a point. Avo the Third replies to that with, tonight wasn't the night to be showing non-support. Too many people thought we just had to turn up tonight. Pity this could and probably will be our last European game at Anfield for Klopp. I think for just to break that down, I think Avo, the first two points there are separate. That too many people thought we just had to turn up tonight, I don't think has anything to do with the fan thing. But before I let you go on this, Kev, I get people saying that this isn't the night to be having a protest, but you don't protest when it's most convenient for the people that you're protesting against. That's how you have an effective protest, is you do it when it is the most inconvenient and it garners the most. And then the flip side to that, Kev, is that that could be the last European game at home for Jurgen Klopp, and it was missing something. Even just the pre-match buildup, not having that regalia of our great club flying on the cop, but it had nothing to do with the result, did it?
No, nothing, absolutely nothing at all. Look, I do my very level best to avoid talking about ticketing and ticket prices. And I understand, but I think Gav had talked about it on the members show last night. I agree with him. It's one of these issues that you get sucked down into the club politics and the club politics rabbit hole very quickly, whether you want to get dragged there or not. And I personally don't want to get dragged there. It's definitely an issue. It's a communication issue between the club and SOS. It's I understand why protests and strikes and stuff like that happen at the most inconvenient times, but I don't believe for a second that it had anything to do with the result or the performance. I think it's a convenient excuse for some. It's an agenda excuse for some who want to jump on a bandwagon. It's not one I'm steering well clear of it. I don't think it had anything to do with anything. And the atmosphere tonight really comes off the back of having your arse handed to you on a plate in the first 45 minutes. And it was flat. It got up when the players gave him something to get up for. When Jota came on and he created some really good chances. You know, and that's what the little silver linings that I'm looking for is the space that Jota was able to occupy and the chances, the half chances he was able to create, be it for himself or others were making for him, the spaces he was filling and the chances he was being able to sniff out around it. You know, we need him fit and available for the run in. And the more minutes he plays, the better chance we have of achieving something. That's the silver lining for me. And when you saw when we were on the attack, you could hear the crowd got up. I'll never question the crowd inside the ground. You know, they know football inside out. And there were times in that second half when I was looking on frustrated, dejected, and they were up and singing and roaring on. So, you know, at the end of the day, if Anfield was like the people's front rooms around the place who were watching that, it would have been remnant of Arsenal's library, you know.
And yeah,
it would not have been nice. I don't think Anfield was toxic in any way, shape or form tonight. You know, I mean, I've seen a toxic Anfield. You know, a toxic Anfield, you know it's toxic. That wasn't toxic. That was frustrating. Yeah,
77-minute walkout that's a toxic atmosphere. It's
Go back further, Hicks and Gillette. Go back way before that when things were bad, like, you know, Hodgson era. You know, go back when things were really bad. I mean, yeah, tonight wasn't that. You know, it was a frustrated Anfield by anything, but it wasn't toxic by any stretch of the atmosphere. I think Aiden makes a point. It was flat, you know, and it was flat largely because Atalanta did their part. Atalanta made it flat.
Their fans were great.
Their fans were great. Well, you expect that from traveling fans. It's a great day out, you know, for them. You know, it's not like they get to come to Anfield very often, and they won't be coming to Anfield next season. That's a fact. You know, because they're not winning this competition and they're not qualifying for the Champions League. So they made the most of it, and fair play to them. They were really loud on the night, but they have every right to be loud. They absolutely boss us off the park. The only question, the only danger I'd be worried, if I was them, I'd be looking at, is three enough? Get minutes into Jota's legs and get him starting over in Bergamo and see what he can do for 65, 70 minutes. You know, get Trent back and available, get Robertson starting from, you know, putting whipping crosses across their back line like he was in the second half, and then see what kind of a game it is. I'll talk myself back into we're turning
that
this around
boy.
Next That's Thursday. No problem.
This right is the now, positivity this is still, that people come here for.
Yeah, right now, this is still raw as fuck. I don't like being losing 3-0 to anyone.
No.
And it's going to take a day or so to get over it. But, yeah, Palace at the weekend.
Hey, you're surprisingly good, Kev. You were about as
I don't
as
get
you were pretty. I don't want to say angry wouldn't be the right word, but when we lost a dead rubber to Toulouse in the group stage, you were still like, I don't like losing.
But I get over it really quick. Usually a good therapy session on here for 45 minutes to an hour, I get over that anger with football really quick. Unfortunately, exactly. My wife is just looking at me now and called me every kind of a liar under the face of the earth. Because I come
on. That's your liar.
Did you hear?
So yeah, definitely heard her. Yeah. That's hilarious. But yeah, I mean,
Pat says hi, Jude.
Hello. We'll get into your post-match quotes part of the thing right now, but just a final word on the ticket. This is definitely not the forum for people. You know, like, I don't think the three of us are the correct people to be getting the opinions of off of, you know, the cost of season tickets, because as far as I know, none of us have season tickets, and the cost of the hospitality ones that I have to buy are already fucking outrageously expensive. So it's, yeah. We'll move on from that, but what do you want to do? Van Dijk or Klopp first, Ashley?
I mean, Van Dijk came first, so go ahead.
Okay. All right. Run us through these.
Okay. So from Van Dijk, he says, it's not great and a very disappointing evening, of course. Too many individual mistakes, which we got punished for. We can't dwell on it. In 3 days, we play again. From tomorrow, we have to switch it back on and get a result. If you don't have belief, there's no point in going to Italy.
There you go. There you go. And Hannibal went to Italy, so I mean, I'm sure we can definitely take a plane there. That's simple as that.
All right. So from Klopp, he said, a really bad game. Oh my God. We lost the plot a bit. We were everywhere and nowhere. The boys need to feel that it was a bad result. We deserve to lose. Congratulations, Atalanta. We have to use this night to feel bad about it and then build up for Crystal Palace. Can we win in Bergamo? Yes, if we play good. Can we win 3-0? I have no idea. No, we have to recover. We must feel really, really bad. It's important. A lot of performances tonight were, oops, wow, I didn't know you could play like that, but I know this can happen. Now is not the moment for having a big mouth. This was probably a low point for us performance-wise tonight for a long time.
Which, hey, that's what we were talking about, that it's, I mean, yeah, Wolves last year away, Brighton away last year, that whole January period of last year kind of felt like this, but we'd been absolutely flying from there. So, I mean, it's good to see, you know, Virgil stepping up after the game and having to front to it, because there's literally no hiding from that. There's literally absolutely no hiding from that. And whether people feel that we can turn the tie around or not, that's one thing or another. But Tommy C's comment here, Kev, 7 cup finals in the league. And I think Alexis McAllister plays every minute for the rest of the season. I think Virgil van Dijk plays every minute for the rest of the season. I'd be surprised if Mo Salah doesn't play basically every minute for the rest of the season, because it's the league. I mean, the league has to take precedence now, doesn't it?
Well, it's the next game. It's always the next game. And the thing is, you hope that this is the low point and they find a way of snapping out of this. But, you know, throughout the season, you're going to have ups and downs in a performance level. I mean, remember last year, it's very rare to see sides dominate in the league and in Europe and domestic cups. You know, it doesn't happen very often. You have to I hope this is how they look at it. That they look at this as it's a bad night. It's a bad night at the office. They've been there before. They've seen this happen before. Dust it off and turn it around on Sunday. You know, that's how they have to look at it. Anything else, there's no point in having a pity party tomorrow morning when they go in. You know, have the pity party in the dressing room and get in the car, go home, kick the cat. And
hey, kick the dog.
No, leave the dog alone. But you know what I mean? Get the frustration out of you, turn up to work tomorrow and just get back at it. I look at how I don't think he'll run him into the ground with volume of games, but yeah, I think you're going to need to go as strong as you can from here on out. The thing is, this is it for Klopp now. You know, this is the end of it. He doesn't need to worry about players' fitness going into next season, or players' fitness going into the Euros, or player welfare. He's like, oh, you need to grind every last sinew that you've got in you out of you in this running, and you're someone else's problem come June 1st. You know, as much as I love the club and that, it's, you're not my problem next season. He's going to have to, as much as he might love the players, he's got to get every single ounce that they have in them out of them between now and the end. And it'll take that. And it'll take a bit of luck along the way. You know, it always does. And tonight, it just didn't work. It didn't work. And we get another opportunity on Sunday to turn it around and try again.
Yeah, there you go.
See where it takes us.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about needing luck. I'm sorry, Ashley, that this is bad luck. Who's your man of the match for tonight that wasn't Cody Gakpo?
Hey. I mean, it's a toss-up probably for Elliott's first 35 minutes of his performance and Kelleher's face.
I like that, Kev. What about your... non-Cody Gakpo man of the match award?
Yeah, look, the only reason that we're still in any semblance of a tie at all is the fact that Kelleher made some absolutely outstanding saves in the first half. You know, I think Shawnee put it in a group chat, I'd be amazed if he doesn't have concussion. You know,
you know what, Kev? I'm so happy you mentioned that, because I thought it was shocking that the Liverpool physios didn't come on.
I think it glanced his cheek. If he'd have got that full on in the face, then it would have smashed his nose into several different places.
Yeah.
You know, and Adrian would have been coming on. So,
oh, good God.
But yeah, I agree with you. Look, I've said it for years on this pod that football in general does not take head injuries and concussion seriously at all. It pays a token gesture to the bare minimum of what sports does when it comes to head injuries. And look, Kelleher, for me, despite the fact that he's culpable for at least one of the goals, and he should do better for the third, you know, he gets a good save. That's a good reaction save, but you need to be pushing that away from you. You know, I don't think he could do anything about the rebound, but his distribution, he was asked to go long too much. Ash, you asked earlier on how many long balls did he go for. I think he had something like 25 long passes out of the box. You know, that just doesn't happen. You know, he had 25 deep passes into their final third. 8 of them came off. You know, normally his distribution is very good, but you got to have something that you could hit. And the movement from up front was just non-existent. And I'll tell you another one as well. I've never seen Konate beaten that many times in the air. You know, he's 6'5".
Scamacca.
And it wasn't just Scamacca. I thought Koopmeyers was really good. You know, I can see why people were linking him to Liverpool last year when we were looking for that central midfielder to be like an attacking number 8, someone who can link the play. And it'll be interesting to watch him in the Euros and see what Ronald Koeman does, because the way the Netherlands sets up, whether he'll accommodate him in a Dutch setup or not. But I thought, yeah, look, Kelleher is the only reason for me that we're still even remotely in a tie for the second leg. You know,
yeah,
it is what it is.
Yeah, rest, I think it's all shite. Full agreement, full agreement all around. Constant member in the chat here, Archie Doolin, saying, never give up, chat, which is, you should put that on a t-shirt, Archie. You could sell those for sure. You could sell those for sure. But yeah, another good member here, Archie Doolin. Like, it's €3.99 a month, people. If you listen to a lot of the shows, see some of the faces, see some of the names in the chat that are in here constantly, you're missing out on some of the real, real good members show, because if you think it's a good chat for a regular show, those member shows can be the right crack. So I would highly recommend that if you like supporting what we do here. But big thanks to Ashley and Kev for joining me, because these are never the shows that you come bouncing into, because none of us are hot take people. I thought I tried to look around the house, see if there was a PETA so that I could like tear it in half at the start of the show and be like, Costas is dead to me. But we don't really work that.
Don't do that.
I will say, you know, I'm all about silver linings at the end, or like little things to hold on to. And, you know, the last time they came to Anfield, we lost 2-0, but we also won 5-0 at their place. And I think it is possible. And for the very last little bit of Klopp being here, he asked us to go from doubters to believers. And we're all sitting here doubting this team. Like, is this team good enough to make this final push? Are we still in transition? And I think we're all sitting here being like, oh, well, the crowd wasn't good enough. I think it's important that we, even as like a virtual crowd, are believing and pushing this team as much as we can until the very end, until Klopp goes, because it's all we can do right now.
Instead of just being a bunch of I told you so, Debbie Downer merchants sort of thing. You got anything else before we get out of here, Kev?
Roll on Sunday. Listen, go back to what you were saying earlier. I mean, forget about the football for a sec. To everyone in the chat who's put their hand in their pocket and sent in donations for the charity drive, a fifth of the way there, €2,000 has gone into that, directly to the charities, €1,000 each. Thank you very much. You're all really brilliant people. Still four-fifths of the way to go. We know we won't shut up about it. The link will be in the description. Stick your hand in your pocket again if you can. If you can't, click the link, share it, and get it into your WhatsApp groups and onto your social medias. I follow an awful lot of you, and I don't see it enough on your timelines. So please click on the link, share it around your timelines, and let's just get this target moving. All right. Yeah. As much as the football was shite tonight, that's a real silver lining for this week. The fact that €2,000 that you all helped to put there is going to good cause and going to help people this weekend. You know, well done to all of you. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said, Kev. And big thanks here to Robert McGuire, who has gifted 5 memberships that were automatically given out to Dan Austin, Avo. That's unfortunate. Thor the Dyslexic, Polyglot, 8 and 91, and Rolu, 1892. So you all get to enjoy the benefits of a Nippy Carpathians bar membership and access to all the live members show for a month. And hopefully you enjoy it and you can dig back into your pockets. Avo, for some reason, just keeps living off of free gifts. This must be nice. And then where was just the final thing here from, I've learned a great trick, Kev. I was Googling how to say his name, and I couldn't figure it out. McGlinchey. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Let's hear it.
I've given up trying it. I'm just going to call him the little deer. No, he's the little deer from now on, because that's what his first name means. In Irish, so he's just the little deer. So the little deer says,
right.
Different than the Real Madrid situation last season when we had some hope of turning it around at the Bernabeu, but we can do this if we get the performance right.
I'll help you. I will help you once.
Oshin, Oshin, Oshin.
No,
Oshin.
Oshin.
Oshin. That's wrong. Oshin.
There you go.
I said I wasn't going to. No, I'm sure that's wrong. It's little deer.
We're the boss.
No, it's little deer. It's little deer, and it's going to be that, as far as I'm concerned, going on. Thank you very much to Kevin Ashley for joining me. I've been your host, Matt. Thank you again, as always, everybody in the chat. You guys make the show so much more enjoyable on the bad days, even more so than the good days sometimes. So hit the like button on the way out if you're listening on a podcast afterwards. Give us a little 5-star review and tell all your friends and all that good stuff. But mostly donate to our charities, because we're just going to keep harping about it and harping about it and harping about it. But roll on Sunday. Liverpool hosts Crystal Palace on Sunday afternoon, and that's what matters now. We got 7 cup finals left in the league, and we got a league to win. So that sucked. See you guys after the next game. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.